And Psalms 27, in verse 4, and we actually have this in a song, Psalms 27, verse 4, it says, "One thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord." Now, I realize some of your translations have removed the word there and replaced it with splendor or glory or something else. The original word is beauty. In other words, the Lord is beautiful. And when He says, "Be holy as I am holy," He's saying, "Be beautifully holy as I am beautifully holy." Now that concept needs to sink into us, because every time when you talk about holiness, all people could think of, about is getting rid of sin. And they don't have the full concept of what it is. But the next time you think about holiness, think about it as being beautiful to God. And it will just expand your relationship with God. Now, when you think about holiness as just being freedom from sin, which includes that, and you begin thinking, "Oh, this is a hard thing. This is a hard thing." And it begins to affect you psychologically and affects your faith level, because all you could think about is fighting sin. But when you think about holiness as being beautiful in the eyes of God, it gives a totally different perspective. And it begin to see from God's perspective that what He wants is just for you to look nice, to look pleasant in His eyes, to be rid of all the ugliness that is truly there. Ugliness, if you know of ugliness on this earth, ugliness in the spirit realm is a thousand times worse. Now, when you, I know Satan is ugly. When something is terrible and ugly and an abomination, it makes you want to vomit. Spiritual ugliness is that way to God. No wonder, now we begin to say, no wonder God says, "Be holy, because I am holy. Be beautiful as I'm holy." It will be just like you decorating your house and doing everything nicely, putting all the nice looking chairs, nice looking tables, nice silverware, nice plates. Everything is nice from the outside of your house, the gates, right to the inside, the paint, the framework, everything is just nice. And I bring in and I import some cow feces and place it on the living room table. Doesn't fit in. See, God has tremendous holiness and everything is nice about His temple, His tabernacle. Then He says, "Now be holy as I am holy." In other words, He's saying, "Be beautiful as I am beautiful." The reason why we have to look at it from the other concept is, for too long, we keep seeing holiness as just freedom from sin. Or not sinning, being cleansed from sin. And we never see it from God's perspective. But when you see holiness as beautiful, you begin to see from God's perspective. And what happens when you begin to see things from God's perspective? It becomes easier to fulfill. Easier to fulfill. Because you can see its proportion. One more scripture in Psalms chapter 90. So the Lord is beautiful. In fact, we have some songs on that. "Lord, you're beautiful." And Psalms chapter 90. Now, I realize that some of your versions will have removed this. I checked some versions just now. And it just disappeared from the NIV and all this translation. But look at Psalms 90 verse 17. Psalms 90 verse 17. It says, And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. And establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Now, before you do anything, the Lord says, let the beauty of the Lord be upon us. So, holiness is the Lord's beauty upon our lives. Now, last week we realized that holiness is something imparted. And I asked some of you for the definitions of holiness. And among some of those things, you say that holiness is being God-like or being Christ-like. And we saw that holiness is something that is imparted. Now, if you try to define beauty, let's not go too far yet, step by step. Beauty in the physical world is also very hard to define. There are some certain definitions of that, but if you go to a tribe that is not exposed to Western society, and there are some tribes that have this mouth plates that they put into their plates from small, and then their lips grow, I'm not going to do it, it's going to look awful. And they put the plates on their lips and make their lips grow big like that. Oh, maybe I should do it, right, for effect. But I'm not that flexible. Any volunteers? No. All right. And they put these mouth plates that make their lower lips big like that. You probably have seen it. Big, giant lips. The bigger, the better. Now, that is definitely not the concept of beauty for the average Western person. But to the tribe, let's say there's a young man in the tribe looking for a beautiful bride. He looked for these big mouth plates. That's what the person will look. That's the concept of physical beauty. So, although there's some average sense of what beauty is in humankind, they are so vast in diversifications. Another tribe in Southeast Asia, beauty is the length of your neck. So they put these rings on their neck until their neck looks long like a giraffe. So when a young man looks for a beautiful woman, the longer the neck, the better, the more beautiful to them it is. Because they grew up with the idea of what beauty is. And in the same way, there is differentiations. Now, because we are all limited, finite, we actually have to be taught what beauty is. We actually have to be taught what beauty is. And a lot of it we acquire subconsciously or consciously through the society around us. If you look at culture through the ages, do you know that what constitutes a beautiful woman in our modern society is different from 1,000 years ago? The nowadays, the modern concept of beautiful woman is in their figure, they are slim, etc. But long ago, beauty in a woman is not in their form necessarily, because the most beautiful woman looks like a big giant pear. Okay, couldn't find a description for that. And so she's, the bigger the better. And long ago in China, beautiful woman was measured by their feet. Smaller the feet, the more beautiful. They don't care about any other parts. So diverse. So you think about it, we all acquired our westernized concept of beauty, consciously and subconsciously, through society's influence and education. We acquire that. I mean, if you go to one of the tribes in Southeast Asia, and there are still some tribes in Southeast Asia, especially in East Malaysia, and some of the missionaries go there, one of the first things you tell them is, look, the women there don't wear tops at all. To them, it's nothing. It's just part of it. It's our Western culture that makes certain concept of what is beautiful and what is last word, everything. We have acquired all those things and we've been brainwashed into us. And then when we come to God, in the spiritual beauty, we realize that somebody has to tell us what beautiful is. If somebody doesn't tell us what is beautiful, we may not even know what is beautiful. So we have to learn what is beautiful. The Bible tells us what is beautiful. And the person in the universe that is the most glorious, the splendid of all, is our God. He is the personification of what beauty is. Therefore, when the Lord says that He has beauty, that He imparts, we got to learn what is beautiful. That is why when He gave the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not this, thou shalt not that, thou shalt not, He's trying to convey to us what is beauty. What is harmony. And so men keep falling over and over again and stumbling, and sometimes they struggle over His commandments because they don't know the purpose of the commandments. The purpose of the commandments is to make you beautiful in the eyes of God. And that you will acquire His beauty. So sometimes we struggle with the commandments of God to be free from sin. All we see is God doesn't want us. So we look at the Ten Commandments, and you know what human conclusion is when you look at the Ten Commandments? Talk to any sinner, right? And you know what the Ten Commandments does to them? You know how they interpret the Ten Commandments? They summarize the Ten Commandments as this. Thou shalt not have fun. Because they think fun is sin. That's their concept. But no. The Ten Commandments was not to rob us of fun or rob us of joy. The Ten Commandments was a revelation of what the true concept of beauty is. And God is always right. Because when people begin to break His commandments, things get ugly. Things get ugly in life. Everything gets uglier and uglier until we cannot stand one another. So in the end we find God is right. Why not from the beginning realize God was trying to tell us this is how to be beautiful. Now when you see that the commandments of God are given so that we can be beautiful in the eyes of God. I mean, if I were to ask anyone of you in the physical world, wouldn't you like to look good? You like to look well. And you will, people pay price for that. I mean, people spend thousands of dollars just to look good. They have a facelift, now they got all kinds of lift. Facelift, eyelid lift, this lift, that lift. Trying to look good physically. What is the motivation? Because they want to look beautiful. Now, if we can find the motivation to look spiritually beautiful, and you know what beauty is, in the eyes of the Lord, then it's easy to keep the commandments. You pay any price to be beautiful. You do anything to be beautiful. There's no price too great to be beautiful. Hallelujah. There is no price too great to be beautiful in the eyes of God. It's good to be beautiful in the eyes of God. And no commandment is too difficult. Because you want to be beautiful in the eyes of the Lord. So beauty comes from the Lord. Now let's expand that a little further and look at one little verse in Leviticus chapter 10 verse 10 and throw a little bit more spanner into the works and get us going. Leviticus chapter 10 verse 10. The Lord says this about His to the priest in Leviticus 10 verse 10. Especially after one of the priests fall short. Leviticus 10 verse 10, it says, that you may distinguish between holy and unholy, between unclean and clean. So he says, I'm giving you all these commandments so that you could differentiate between what is holy and unholy. And what is clean and unclean? And this is the question that I have for you. Is there a difference between holy and clean? Unholy and unclean? It's unclean and clean, holy and unholy. And the Bible says, He wants His people to learn to distinguish between them. Now, in your minds and my minds, let's think about this. Is there a difference between holy and unholy and clean and unclean? Let's